And it is a joy to see each and every one of you. Thank you for being here. And I hope that, I know that I say this from time to time, but we never know when all this is going to be over. You know, we could see that the Lord would come back today. If it's not that, it could be that one of us would not be here, and it could be me. I'm like that one fellow says, I'm not afraid to die, except I just hate the pain involved with doing it. Because usually it involves, he says, I'm not afraid to go to heaven. I just don't want to go on the next load, unless that's all of us going up in the rapture. I'm for that load. But I'm looking forward to heaven, but I'm also thankful for what God's doing right here. We did have a great meeting just a moment ago. Brother Phyllis and Miss Burt, or the other way around. Brother Burt, Miss Phyllis helped us host the our folks that some have joined recently. Others are contemplating, just thinking about joining. And the Lord really is doing something here at Buffalo Ridge. I'm thankful if God is leading you to join. Then we certainly want to encourage that. And I believe God's gathering together a group for His glory. And that's what it's all about, His name being lifted up. And we're thankful for that. Well, I want to preach for a little while from Genesis chapter 13. First book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 13, verse number 8. We'll read a few verses here while you find your place there in Genesis chapter 13. I did hear this story about these two preachers. They lived in the same town, and they were buddies pretty much. Well, they went to a revival together. And so after the revival, they were making their way back home. They lived fairly close to one another, and they're making their way back home. And they lived in a small town, and while they were driving through town late after this revival, there was the town drunk. Just fumbling his way down through the street. And they said, well, we can't leave him like that. I said, well, we better get him in here and take him home. They all knew where he lived. And so they brought him in put him in the back of the car and took him and said, well, we're going to take you home. And so he couldn't hardly get out of the car. So they both got out, and one got on one side, one got on the other, and they put their arms around him so they could kind of hold him up. And he was just having a heyday. He was just waving or wandering his way up through to the porch. And so they said, well, here you are, and arm and arm and arm, all three of them here. He said, well, named his name, here you are, you're home, you go from here. And he said, no, sir. He said, so don't leave now. He said, I want my wife to see who I've been hanging around with. So be careful who you take home, I guess, is the moral of that story. So Genesis chapter 13, the Bible says in verse number 8, we're going to look at Abraham. And Abraham has no son yet. He doesn't have a son. That's coming later. But he has poured his life into Lot, his nephew, as it were. And he wants his nephew Lot to live before the Lord and live righteously before him as well. He's brought Lot out of Ur of the Chaldees, where he lived, toward this land of Canaan. And then we're going to find here where he's going to have to separate from him, not because of arguing back and forth, but because of the land is just not enough. You're looking at Genesis 13, verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, and for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Well, I would like to preach for a little while about this Abraham fellow. He's the great man of faith that all of us have heard of. And he's got no greater desire than his nephew Lot would walk before the Lord and walk in the way that Abraham is modeled. But then we come to this moment when Abraham says, Lot, you choose. You can look that way and I'll go the other way. And Lot's reasoning is all messed up from the beginning. He looks in verse number 10, he talks about, well, it looks a lot like Egypt, which is never supposed to be the place where they were at anyways, and he made the decisions on that faulty reasoning. But we see Abraham, although he had great hopes for Lot, his nephew, or a son figure, but he goes the way that he ought not to go. And I want to preach a message, not to try to meddle with anybody today, but try to preach a message about this. What do you do when your family disappoints you? Now, some of you may not have family left. You may be the only one, and you could apply a person that you've helped out in life, or anyone else for that matter. But specifically, what to do when your family disappoints you? Because if you've got children, maybe they're young, but they're going to grow and they're going to get older. And as they do, they'll certainly not make every decision that you do. And some of them you'll think, wow, that's not wise how you did that. And I want to take it from the text here, what to do when family disappoints you. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I ask you to help the Christian brothers and sisters that are gathered together be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, dear Lord. I pray that you'd give them strength when they walk through the valleys. And I want to preach about a valley today. And I pray that you'd help me, dear Jesus. Well, thank you for it all. Amen. So we see here that there's a man that walks with God. Abraham's that great man of faith. God tells him, Abraham, get out of here. And God tells him, get out of here, Abraham, these are my words, not his. Where am I going? He said, I'm not telling you yet. Can you imagine being Abraham after God told him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, and his friend said, after he told him, I'm leaving, he said, where are you going? I don't know. How are you going to know when you get there? I don't know. When are you going to stop? Whenever God tells me to. And so we have this great man of faith, this guy that wanted to live for God and go forward, and he's the father of faith, so to speak. And we see that he is disappointed, I'm sure, in his nephew Lot that he had poured into and poured into and poured into. And I want to preach about some of the things that he had done, even when Lot did what Abraham did not agree with. I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 12, that he kept living in the promises of God. After Lot chose those, all the plains of Jordan, and he journeyed east, and they separate themselves. Verse number 12 says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. We see that he dwelled in the land of Canaan. Then if you look down in verse number 14 and 15, God promises these things to Abraham. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thou thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest up to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And so we see that Abraham, even though Lot has disappointed and gone away that he wished he had not gone, we still see Abraham living inside in the promises of God. Can I tell you what oftentimes people do when the folks that you've poured your life into, when they disappoint you, then you take it as a great detriment or a great setback in your life, and you put it in neutral or you put it in reverse, and you say, well, phooey, it doesn't matter. But we see Abraham still being this example of faith. When Lot doesn't do what he's supposed to, Abraham still says, I'm going to keep on looking to the Lord in faith. God had already told Abraham that he would bless him and he would give him he would multiply his seed as the sands, as the stars. And Abraham, even though Lot disappoints him, Abraham says, I'm still going to walk in the promises of God. Can I tell you what your family needs? If your friends, your family, whoever you've been trying to witness to, live for, you tried to raise them right, and they've departed from what you think they ought to do, can I tell you the greatest thing that you ought to do is keep on living in the promises of God? Amen. Sweet family in Mason County, the county over from where we lived in West Virginia, they went to our church at the time my dad pastored, and 15-year-old boy took his own life. And that family wanted to close up shop and just turn everything in. And I believe they would have had it not been for the fact they had another child who desperately needed them to keep on walking with the Lord. Because sometimes when great tragedy happens in our lives, we are so consumed with what it did to us that we forget there are other people that need us to keep on walking the walk that we've been walking up till then. And this family found themselves doing what they did not want to do. They did stretch out. They did continue to try to serve the Lord, and they did continue to try to be what that other child needed them to be as she grew and developed into the lady that God wanted her to be. I'm saying this morning that if something happens and the children, the family, whoever it is, they disappoint you, plug in whoever you want, that you need to keep on living in the promises of God and let yourself continue to be consumed with what God has told you He's going to do, because Abraham was told by God that I'm going to bless your seed. I'm going to raise up heir to your account. I'm going to give you that family. And even when Abraham was disappointed by Lot, he still walked in the promises of God. But I want you to see in verse number 14, not only that, but we see also God told him, after Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look from this place, northwest, north, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all this land that thou seest, I'll give to thee, and I will make thy seed, verse number 16, as the dust of the earth. And verse number 17, as we see that, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Not only did he keep living in the promises of God, but notice closely what I'm saying, he continued to actively live out his faith. Do you know there's a lot of folks in their Christian life that they quit long before they're done? They close up shop long before God has taken them on to heaven? Can I give you the huge clue you into when God wants you to quit living for Him? When God wants you to quit living for Him is when He snatches you away to heaven and takes you there. You say, but Pastor, I can't do what I used to do. I used to teach some kids in junior church, and I can't do that anymore. You say, I used to run up and down these steps like a wild person. I'd be chasing after kids, and we'd be having fun, and we'd be in one class and another. I can't do that anymore. Or perhaps you say, my work schedule is not what it used to be. I can't dedicate the time that I used to. Or maybe I've gotten older, and my patience isn't what it used to be. I'm not saying that you can do what you always used to do in the capacity that you did, but I'm saying to you this morning that when God wants you to quit serving Him, He'll take you on to be with Him in heaven. Your specifics may change. Your assignment may change. But the word from God won't change that you and I are supposed to be actively involved in working for Him until He takes heaven. You say, Pastor, I don't want to work. Well, I know some of us always have that problem. I'm not saying you got to work like somebody else says you got to work. I'm not saying you got to work like the way you used to work. I am saying, though, that there is no discharge from this war, that we are supposed to be in this life living for the Lord. There's always someone we can encourage. There's always someone we can pray for. There's always somebody that we can be a blessing to. And I tell our good members that are in nursing homes when they tell me, Pastor, I can't do those things because I'm confined to this bed or to this room. I say, you are in the perfect place. You've got more time than anyone else does. You can pray for me in that church more than most of the other people who are still out working their 40-hour a week job. I'm telling us that we ought to not only live in the promises of God, He was dwelling in that land of Canaan, but we also ought to continue to actively live out our faith. And God tells Abraham, yes, you need to keep living in my promises, but you need to get walking in faith. We've been learning on Wednesday nights about that faith that goes to work as we go through the book of James. And the Bible doesn't present a faith that is dead. The Bible doesn't present a faith that doesn't do anything. The Bible presents a faith that is a living, working faith that's going to be doing something in your life. You're going to have to do something because that faith that's inside of you, you're going to find somebody to encourage. You're going to find somebody that's fallen that you can lift them up. You're going to do something because you need to be actively living out that faith. Pastor John Wilkerson, a wonderful man of God, he's a pastor in Indiana, had his son, Tyler, died in an auto accident way back in 2008. He was a good kid. He was a camp counselor. He was a soul winner. He would witness to people and try to tell them about the Lord. And I can't imagine the grief. Some of you can in this room, but I can't imagine the grief because I haven't had to go through that. Can I tell you what that pastor did the Sunday after his son went to heaven? He got up in his pulpit in Long Beach, California then. He got up in his pulpit and preached that next Sunday morning about this: God makes no mistakes. My friend, that is living in faith. That is continuing on when you don't feel like continuing on. And I've come to tell you today that we need to continue on even when we feel like stopping. We need to continue on when we feel like we don't have any more strength in us. A bus captain friend of mine in Iowa, while we were serving there, there was a house, because of the divorce that was fairly bitter, there was a house that he could not pick up any children from that house. But the next little town's over, he would minister to families, and families would come and ride his bus. And he, with a tear in his eye, would say that, "I want to reach as many people as I can with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I can't go to that house." And that house was his own ex and his children. But he was trying to, still wanting to see God do something in the lives of the people he could reach. And I see Abraham, he continued, even when the disappointment of Lot came, he continued to actively live out his faith. Continue on, even when he didn't feel like it. So, if you felt like every morning when you've gotten up to the choir, to the back wall, if you have up to this point in your life felt like every morning, "Wow, this is a great day, I'm looking forward to it," you are a weird, strange puppy. Whoever you are, I just want you to know you're something wrong with you. I wish I was that way, because the rest of us, some mornings you get up and feel like you don't even want to get out of bed. Because as soon as your mind kicks on, you remember you're alone. As soon as your brain kicks into gear, you remember the disappointment from yesterday. I'm being as real as I can. As soon as your gears start turning, just for a split second, maybe you don't remember, but then it comes crashing down. And to you that get up in the morning and don't want to go on, let me give you this advice from Abraham's life. Continue to actively live out your faith, even when disappointment overshadows you. Because if you only live for Jesus when you feel like it, you're going to leave a whole lot of gaps in your service. So not only do we keep living in the promises of God and we continue to actively live out our faith, but let me give you this last one. We're going to look over in chapter number 14, and this point, be willing to help. Not only keep living in the promises of God and actively live out your faith, but then be willing to help. Look at chapter 14, verse number 12. Remember that Abraham let Lot choose, and Lot chose the wrong way, and Lot gets into things that he ought not to be into, and eventually word comes, if you don't know the whole story, you can read it sometime. Eventually, word comes back to Uncle Abraham that Lot's in trouble. Verse number 12 of 14. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came out that it had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Ar, and these were confederate with Abram. Verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, that's his brother's son Lot, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. We'll continue on, verse 15, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Haba, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, nephew, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Abraham's not pleased with how Lot is living. He is not for what Abraham is doing. He's not going to dip his own sails. He's still going to continue to live in faith and proclaim the righteousness of God and faith in what God wants to do. But he's still going to help his nephew. We know Lot never did turn out to be all that God wanted him to be. You remember the story as he went down there and his own wife didn't survive because of his less than separated living. But Abraham loved him. Did you know that you can love the people who you don't agree with how they're living? Let me address something very tricky for some of us. Some people would say, if they're not living right, any help that I give would condone their action. Okay, we can understand that philosophy. Others say, how can I not help because they're my flesh and my blood, and I love them, and God loves them. You've got two different philosophies. You say, Pastor, which one's right? Both of them. There have been many parents that have facilitated wrong because they enabled a child that was doing what they ought not to be doing. Many parents, they just overlook things and they do what they ought not to do because they love so much and they're really hurting the child by enabling them to do wrong. But it's also possible to hold such a stiff position that somebody truly needing help doesn't get the help from you and they won't be shown the love of Christ because you won't dirty yourself with their situation. Somebody will say, I can't condone sin. I couldn't let a wayward son or grandson of mine continue in that, and I can't help. If that boy wants in, he'll have to come crawling back on his hands and knees or something like that. But I have to ask you, if you have that position, what are you going to do with the prodigal's dad? I believe, you know, you've heard me preach long enough, I believe that we've got to stand strong on what the Word of God stands strong on. You can't condone sin, encourage sin, pay for sin. But what could we do with the prodigal's dad? Because remember, if that idealistic viewpoint that I might have doesn't allow me to look down the road, the lane that the boy is coming up, then I may be venturing away from the lesson that the Lord gave us by the prodigal son. Can I remind you that the prodigal's dad didn't know what the boy's attitude was going to be when he got to him? The Bible says that the prodigal's father was waiting on the porch and he was looking, longing for him, I believe, to come back. And he went down and embraced him before he ever heard what he was going to say, before he ever heard what he was going to have as an excuse, before he ever heard, Father, I've wasted my life in riotous living. We know what the answer was, but that's only because God gives us the overview of it. But the prodigal's father didn't know that at that point, and the prodigal's father was looking down the lane just waiting for an opportunity to go and wrap that boy up in his arms. And my friend, I'm trying to tell you that you're going to have to be willing to help when God allows you to help somebody who's not doing exactly like you would. You don't have to worry as much as you think you do about your position, because if you stand strong and you still stand on the Word of God, you still stay praying and seeking Him, those children will know where you stand. Love cannot be thrown out when your proteges, your children, your grandchildren, whoever they are, when they don't do what's right. Now again, you're going to have to find out all the specifics of how much can I do, how can I, that's not for me to answer. But I'm saying there ought to be an attitude of love. Let me give you this story before I leave today. Read it long ago, but it was of a true story of a preacher from years ago. This preacher was riding a train. He was coming back from a revival meeting. And as he's riding this train back to where his home was, he saw this young boy, late teens, early 20s, and he's noticeably distraught. And he asked the boy, he says, I'm a preacher. Can I help you? And this young boy, told the story of, Pastor, preacher, I've wasted the last 2 years of my life running up and down the country in rebellion. He said, a little over 2 years ago, I left my home. And it wasn't a sweet parting, it was a bad one. So much so that I threatened my own father with violence. I threatened to haul off and hit him. And I took off of there and I didn't look back. He says, I'm ashamed. He says, but here in recent weeks, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I've been saved. He said, I got my sins forgiven. Of course, the preacher was thankful. But he said, I wrote a letter to mom and dad. And I told them I would be riding the train. You see, our house is on the train tracks before it gets into town where the station is. And all my life growing up, I'd hear the train coming through, and I knew right where it was. And I wrote to Mom and Dad that I'm going to be coming into town, and I'd love to see them. And the preacher says, well, what if they don't want to see you? He said, the same thought crossed my mind. He said, I wrote in the letter what train I would be coming in on. And I wrote to Mom and Dad that if it's okay for me to stop, then would you, there's an old tree in the backyard, would you tie a sheet, a rag, something, a white rag out there? He says, I'll see it. I'll be looking on that side. He said, I know where the tracks are. And if that's there, that'll be my signal that it's okay to come in. And I'll get off at town. I'll make my way back. But if not, I'm just going to ride on to the next town or the next town, because really I don't know where I'm going from here. But he told the preacher, he says, I can't look. The attendant announced that they were coming into the certain town. He says, preacher, I can't look. And he says, I'm going to look away. Would you tell me if that rag is hanging in the tree? And that preacher looked, and he says, preacher, I'm scared. I can't do it, but would you? And he did. And he almost cried, and he said, son, you might as well look up. He said, it looks like there's a rag in every one of those branches. He says, there's a little old gray-headed lady and a man underneath there with a big white sheet. I said, son, I don't think you have any problems or anything to worry about. It looks to me like you've got a welcome mat put out as big as Texas that Mom and Dad want to see you. And my friend, you know I have 3 children. And my children are not exempt from anything that God or anything that the world has to throw their way. And some of you have had great disappointments. But if you and I both face them, here's one thing I want our children to know. I want them to know that we love them. I want them to know that Dad always stood on the Word of God and that he would not dip his sails. But I want them to know that that position on the Word of God doesn't stop him from loving them. So what do you do when family disappoints you? Number one, you keep on living in the promises of God. If not, you'll just sour yourself to the point where you can't function. If you don't daily get up and get in the Bible, and you don't daily get up and live in the promises of God as Abraham did, and he dwelled in that land of Canaan, and he reminded himself of all that God had promised him, if you don't continue to do that in your own self, you'll just ruin yourself. And then not only did he continue to live in those promises, he continued to actively stretch his legs out and live in faith. If your kids, your grandkids, whoever else it is, does exactly what you want them to do, you ought to live actively for the Lord. If they choose to go another way and break your heart, you ought to still actively love and live for the Lord. And then thirdly, you ought to be willing to help as much as is prudent. They ought to know that just like Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, they ought to know that Mom and Dad and Grandma say the exact same thing. Please, I understand there's restrictions that you have to put just because of safety of your family. I'm not getting into all the specifics, but I'm talking about the overall attitude should be that I'm willing to help to whatever I can. So what do you do when those that you had great hopes for don't follow through with those? You yourself stay close to the Lord. Stay close to the Lord in your own life, seeking Him, fellowshipping with Him, communing with Him, so that they'll know, Mom and Dad really believed what they said. My wife says this again and again as we've talked to different families. And many times families will have somebody that disappoints. And she'll say to them each time, Well, you want them to have something to come home to. You want them to have that, you want to have that sweet fellowship with the Lord to give that one something to come home to. And may each of us decide to do just that. Walk in the promises of God. Actively live in faith, trusting Him, and be there to help. How else are they going to find their way back? And I trust that the message has been a blessing to you. If you're here today and you've got somebody in your life that's like that, can I challenge you to walk before the Lord, live actively in your faith? And then if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, or perhaps you're that prodigal son, maybe you're that one that's far away from the Lord, can I tell you that you've got somebody looking down the path for you, ready to come back? Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved. You're not even born again. You're not sure that Jesus is your Savior. All you know about Jesus, but you don't really know if you know Him for sure as your Savior. My friend, that's the only thing that's going to give you peace in this life, is to know your sins are forgiven and to know you put your faith in Jesus Christ. I've told you this so many times as a church family, but you know that's the reason we put the cross right here. So that everybody that came in this room or watched online would know that there's hope in the cross of Jesus Christ. Are you sure you're saved this morning? If not, today is the day that I challenge you to come to Jesus and be saved. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I thank you for the crowd that's assembled here today. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us do business with you, holy business with you. Lord, if there's somebody in this room that's got a wayward child, a wayward grandchild, Lord, I pray you've given them hope and help today. And Lord, others that their children are doing great, their grandchildren. Lord, I believe we can still learn from this passage and actively walk in our faith and actively walk in the promises that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody here unsaved, right now as they're listening, and my friend, if you're listening, please listen well. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, you know about Jesus, but you don't know what it means to have your sins forgiven, can I tell you that all of us are sinners? All of us need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. You need to come to Him and ask forgiveness of your sins and put your faith in Him. Look to Him and be saved. You say, Pastor, that sounds so simple. Well, depends on who you're looking at. It wasn't simple for the Lord Jesus Christ. He left all of heaven's glory, came and lived 33 homesick years on this earth, bled and died on an old rugged cross, buried, and then defeated death, hell, and the grave, and rose again. He did all that for you. If you're not saved, would you do that today? And my Christian friend, again, I ask you, if you've got somebody that's living where you don't want them to live, that's not what you planned, your marching orders are clear. I don't have them right here. I would tell them what the Bible says they should do, but your marching orders are clear. Walk actively in that faith that you've had so long. Be ready to help. Live in the promises of God and let God minister to your heart. Bless us, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. We'll thank you for it. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God's dealing with your heart this morning, I invite you to come. Do you need to be saved? Are you tired of laying your head on your pillow at night, not knowing if something were to happen to you that you'd make it to heaven? You're not sure? The Bible says Jesus' desire is for each and every one of us to be born again, be saved. Would you come? Step out from your seat. The people around you will let you out. They'll even come with you. If you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel, standing right here in front of the pulpit that I preach from, would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure Maybe you have some other prayer need and you just want to come and pray. You don't need anybody to pray with you, but you just want to come and this altar and pray for a wayward son, pray for a wayward daughter, pray for somebody that's away from God. Let's not let them down now. Let's continue to lift them up in prayer. Let's continue to live in faith, a life before them. As they play another verse, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Well, thank you. Would you look this way? And let me just close by saying this. We're so thankful for what the Lord is doing here at Buffalo Ridge. And we encourage you to be in prayer for folks that God's working on their hearts. And we've got several folks that are contemplating joining. And we're certainly thankful for what the Lord's doing in that. I tell everybody, follow the Lord. But back in the back, Amy and I are going to stand here in just a moment as we dismiss. And hopefully you'll come by and see us. But I'm going to ask Brother Jeff and Miss Emily Simpson, wave your hand back there, Jeff. Oh, they're home folk to us, and we thank God for them, but they believe it be God's will for them to unite in fellowship with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. They're saved, they're baptized, and we're looking forward to them being members here. They've been here, they're coming, they're faithful, but this is just more of a coming home time for Emily and Brother Jeff, such a blessing. So with that being said, I'm going to ask them when we leave, maybe they'll come out and stand beside of us, and we got to get their picture anyways, and you'll get to by and meet them. But we'd need a motion to accept Brother Marty Scroggs, Brother Jeff, Miss Emily Simpson makes a motion to accept them into membership of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And we would need a second. Larry Russell back in the back makes that second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Well, amen. Motion carries. And we're certainly thankful about that. And if the Lord is leading you, directing you, you feel like checking out, just because you come talk to the pastor doesn't mean I'm shoehorning you in. I believe everybody, I want everybody to join. I mean, you have to keep that in mind. I will already have said, when you say, well, I'm thinking about it, I say, don't think any longer. God's already told me, I believe you should join. But that's not always true, but that's always my desire. But we want the Lord's will to be done. And if the Lord is moving on your heart, thank you for allowing him to. And when you feel like the Lord has made that clear to you, then certainly follow his will. And we're thankful for what God has done. What a joy to be in church. Would you just look around? It's an amazing thing. Yes, sir. Amen. Gavin, did you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today? You did. Amen. All right. Well, Gavin Tipton put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and asked him to be his Savior. Will you rejoice with that? You say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Gavin, it's the most wonderful decision. I don't usually call people out, but it's the most wonderful decision that you've ever made. I made that decision when I was a young man, a little bit older than you, got it shored up and nailed down, and bar none, it's the most wonderful decision I've ever made. I go to bed at night not worried about where I'm going to wake up. If I don't wake up on this side, I'll wake up in heaven, and thankful for that. Praise the Lord, Gavin. What a joy. Amen to that. Folks, it's been a wonderful place to be in God's house, hasn't it?
Amen.
Amen to that. So, well, we're going to dismiss in prayer. Amy and I are going to slip back to the back. Hopefully the Simpsons will come back and join us. And Brother Marty, can you slip out there and come pray for us? And I'll make my way to the back with my wife.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this message. Lord, I thank you for how you've always been there for me and looked out and was looking for me, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to apply this to our lives, to help us to live it out as we go. Lord, we thank you for Gavin being saved. Pray that you continue to work in his life. Lord, again, we just thank you for who you are and for all you've done. I ask you bless in Jesus' name. Amen.